I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
I am Travis Rasmussen, and I also have a trading problem.
And despite what they say, second time's the charm. We got it right this time, but you won't hear it the first time that we screwed up anyway. Welcome to session 23 of the Trade Addicts podcast. Today is our hot takes episode. Our past four episodes have been bold takes, and these are going to be not even bolder, but boldest. We spent the past 25 minutes coming up with these, so they're going to be awesome. You heard the beard introduce himself before. Travis Rasmussen, how's it going, man?
I'm good, guys. How are you guys doing?
I'm good. This is weird because we're using Hangouts for the first time to record. This is actually the first time I've seen Brian's face.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I didn't buy it at first. Apparently, it's true.
It may still be a mask. We're not sure. He winked. It was creepy. all right. Well, real things. So, Travis, you have like 18 podcasts. You write for stuff. Why don't you just tell everybody what you do?
I have two podcasts, and I write for one site.
That's almost 18 podcasts.
Yeah, so I co-host on the Superflex Super Show. Obviously, we focus mainly on Superflex there. And then I just launched my solo redraft podcast, which is aptly called the Travis NFL Fantasy Football Show. And that's a short, like under 30-minute solo redraft podcast that I do every single weekday.
And both of those are awesome. If you listen to our show, it's kind of weird if you don't listen to theirs. So go subscribe. All right. Well, you guys, I know you've transitioned into a little redrafty talk, but we'll forgive you for that. But mostly, especially during the offseason, you're a bit of a dynasty show.
Oh, for sure.
Cool. Awesome. Which means you're in dynasty leagues. How many leagues are you in?
You didn't. This isn't on the show sheet.
This is not on the show sheet.
I didn't count.
Give us a rough estimate.
Including redraft leagues or how many dynasty leagues?
Dynasty leagues.
Six-ish.
Okay. I'll take it.
Seven. Could be 23. It's somewhere around six, though.
Somewhere in between six and 23. Got it. All right. So if you're in somewhere between six and 23 leagues, you've made some trades. So why don't you give us some of your best and some of your worst trades that you've made?
So, all right. So this is... Most of these are from last season. One of them, I traded away Dez Bryant and Eric Swoop for Sterling Shepard, Laquon Treadwell, and a 2018 first.
Do you remember what that first turned into?
I can find out if you want to pause for a second.
I do not want to pause for a second. I don't care that much. But yeah, Dez Bryant is not playing, and Eric Swoop, hey man, he played basketball, so you know he's got to be good.
It's true. That was my Twitter profile like tagline for the longest time. Eric, did you know Eric Swoop played basketball?
And Chris Hogan played lacrosse, and
where
Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard.
Where did Chris Hogan play lacrosse?
Wait, he went to Monmouth, but he played lacrosse in Penn State.
Yes, correct.
There you go. That's right. He's like the link that joins us.
Yes.
All right, that took
a
turn.
That was creepy. I just saw some behind the curtain stuff here.
And to be fair, this is the second time we've talked about it. It did not get any less creepy.
Nope.
All right, so this next one kind of breaks my heart a little bit. Go, what's the next one?
Yeah, I gave up Jeremy Maclin and I got Kyle Rudolph.
Jeremy Maclin was my man for a good 2-3 years. And then yeah. Cliff, he was just... Like Wile E. Coyote hitting the ground and just
couldn't stay healthy.
And then, you know, Baltimore, where wide receivers go to die.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, so, seriously, guys, go buy your Michael Crabtree or whatever. Have fun.
Are you off the Crabtree like I am?
I am off the Crabtree. I sold Crabtree for what everyone thought was ridiculously cheap because I got crushed in that trade pull. But I got Jameson Crowder out of it, and I think I see that you like Jameson Crowder.
Yeah, I would take Crowder straight up.
Crowder I got for Crabtree and Delanie Walker.
For both for Crowder?
Yeah.
It's a little pricey, but I'm cool with it.
I still like that in Dynasty.
Yeah, I mean, clearly it was. All right, but yeah, Kyle Rudolph is awesome. So yeah, clearly, and Jeremy Maclin. I mean, it says Baltimore on here because I'm guessing you went back a year to copy and paste it. But
that's yeah, right.
He's not in the league no more. Last one. What's your last good one?
I gave up DeShone Kizer, and I got back Blake Bortles, a 2018 third. Oh, two 2018 thirds. So Bortles and two thirds for DeShone Kizer.
Oh, hashtag the Blake.
Yeah. I mean, you can't even get a single third for him now. So
right. So yeah, like all of these, it seems like you just sold at the right time.
That's yeah. I mean, that's essentially, you know, even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while, right?
This is a PG podcast, man.
Oh, no, it's not.
Not no more.
I was here pre-show. That is not a correct statement.
When you're not recording, it doesn't count. All right. So these are the ones you got lucky on, apparently. Let's hear some of the ones you did not get so lucky on.
Yeah. So I'll have you guys tell me how bad these actually were. These are the worst ones I could find. I bought Danny Woodhead for a 2018 third. And that wasn't even when he was good. That was last season. And let's see. I gave up Alex Collins and Tyreek Hill for Carlos Hyde and Larry Fitzgerald.
All right. We're going to skip over Woodhead in the third because honestly, that's a big who cares.
Yep.
Yeah. This other one's not great. How into Tyreek Hill was this? Like, was
this
he
was
still
mid season last year?
Yeah.
So he was still pretty prevalent.
Yeah, you done messed up on that one.
Yeah.
You're admittedly a little bit. You're admittedly a little bit lower on him.
You
than
hate
most, though,
Tyreek.
Yeah, I've had my Tyreek Hill hate in the past. Anybody who listens to the Superflex Super Show, I had to kind of eat some crow a little bit 2 weeks ago and admit that he has looked awesome. And I'm still a Sammy Watkins truther, but Tyreek Hill might be the real deal.
You felt the pain behind Travis's eyes when he was saying that Tyreek Hill was good.
Definitely.
Like, I'm driving and I'm just like, tears are like welling in my eyes. It's just like, I felt the pain.
I didn't say he was good. I said he's looked really good.
He's looked good. Yes, I apologize. It's not that he's good. He's looked really good.
No, he might be the real deal. And I didn't think so. And that's, yeah. So, I mean, Larry and Hyde are both still on my team and they're both starting for me. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you didn't get Jeremy Maclin or anything. But.
right. Definitely lost out on some value though, for sure.
Yeah, but it makes the victories all that much more sweeter knowing that you've screwed up pretty badly.
Thanks, man.
All right. So why don't you give us your guiding principle that you take with you when you're offering trades or you're evaluating them?
Yeah. So the main thing that I came up with right for this was essentially don't trade out of boredom and don't tilt trade. And so I'm constantly stopping myself during the off season from sending out offers just because it's been a while since I made a trade and I feel that itch or whatever. So in the off season, that's a struggle. And I try to remind myself to not do that. And then in season, it's pretty easy to succumb to, you know, buying a guy after a big week or selling a guy that you believed in, who's had a rough stretch of games, that type of thing. So essentially just don't trade away a guy you believe in because of a few games. Don't buy on a guy because of one great week. You got to hold strong to your talent evaluations and try to be the guy that's trading away the guy who had one big week, and try to be the guy who's trading for the player that is talented but is having a bad couple weeks, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a really great strategy. It's also totally opposite of what Russ and I do typically. but no, that's a really good idea. I mean, I think a lot of people get caught up in, you know, what just happened this weekend and how can I get my hands on this guy or how can I get rid of this guy instead of just being patient. Over the course of a season, a lot can happen and things usually level out with, you know, the idea that you had in your head going into the season. Normally that plays out more times than it doesn't. So just don't make those rash decisions. I think that's a great point.
Yeah. And trading, not trading just for the heck of it, just because you're bored, is essentially blasphemy on this show, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Like I was like, you muted yourself at one point. I was thinking about just doing it for the rest of the show.
I'm used to it.
It was funny. I was just on the Top Dog show and I was talking about this exact thing where I'm fine for trading for the sake of trading, but I don't endorse it if it's stupid. You know, if you're going to trade, still make sure you're getting value, or at least make sure you're getting guys you want on your team. Like if you're just like, what the hell, I'm just going to hit accept, then yeah, that's dumb. You shouldn't be doing that. But if you're going to, even if it's just for the hell of it, as long as your team is getting better in either player value or in the offseason, that's all there really is, because who cares about positional value in the offseason? So as long as you're not screwing your team over, I say trade for the sake of trading, because that's what we do.
Yeah, I'm all right with that.
Hashtag brand. All right. Well, it's nice to meet you. I'm glad you came on the show. We feel more beardy now that you're here. Oh, and I have to ask, how many of these dad jokes do you have that you open up the Superflex show with, the Super Show with? Like, do you have a book of these? Do you come up with these on the spot? Are you that daddy that you come up with it on the spot?
A magician never reveals his secrets.
Because there has been multiple times that you have legit made me laugh out loud, either my office or in my car. Like 2 weeks ago, what was it? Like why did the Scarecrow receive an award? Because he was outstanding in his field. I think I almost figured out the answer right in time for you to say it out loud, and glad I wasn't drinking anything, because I pulled one of those things and it would have been all over the windshield.
That was, in your defense, that was probably the best one I've ever done. That's the only time in the history of the show since I've been doing that little bit that John and James have both laughed. So that one might be the outlier. But
just don't tell the people here in case they haven't listened to your show yet. He's funny every single time.
Gold. Yeah, they're all gold.
Oh, and speaking of dad stuff, if you guys listen to the open bar, I sang Baby Shark. Ooh. The open bar. And if you're a father / mother of a child under 5, you know the hell that is Baby Shark. I know you have like 8 kids, Trav, but I have no idea how old they are.
I have 3 kids under 5, and I have no idea what the hell Baby Shark is.
Oh man, we're doing some YouTubing after we're done recording.
All right, cool.
And it'll never leave your head. Either that, or I'm gonna like find your children's kids YouTube account and sneak it on there so they can torture you with. Ugh. All right, we're gonna move on.
You stay away from my kids, Russ.
I'm in your house already. All right, so let's bring the mood down a little bit. I was about to say dim the lights, but we're not making it romantic in here. We're making it sad in here. My boy, my Jet, Jerick McKinnon tore his ACL. By the time I actually edit this and all of that, this is not new news to anybody, but it's the first time we're recording since it happened, and I have shed some tears. I'm not going to lie. That was my boy. I had him in a couple of places. He was my keeper in a keeper league draft that happened the day before he tore his ACL. So, ouch. Rock on.
Yikes.
Yeah. So, do you guys believe at all in Matt Breda or Alf Morris actually giving you anything fantasy related?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what are we talking
about? Morris season, baby.
Ew. All right.
Listen.
All right.
He's old. He's not a crazy talent, but he showed that he's still got something to give. And I think that he's going to be the lead guy there. And it's closer in PPR. I mean, Alfred Morris isn't going to catch the ball very much, but that offense should be better. They should have more scoring opportunities than they've had the last few years. Carlos Hyde was the running back 8 in that on that team last season. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying Alfred Morris is going to be a top 10 running back by any means. But
I know I haven't scrolled down to see your hot takes yet. It might be on there.
It might. No, it's not on there. But yeah, man, I'm on board with Alfred Morris for 1 year.
Oh, yeah. These are hopefully, definitely, maybe 1 year things. But we're going to jump into the hot takes a little early. Fellow trade addict at FF Trader Joe says that he believes Jerick McKinnon could be done in the NFL. Oof. Completely. The contract he signed, while it was for a lot of money, was very front loaded, where pretty much they could dump him for what was like $1.5 million dead cap, which is chump change in NFL salary cap. And a dude that's never proven anything, that got hurt before he even got to show what he could do on a big contract. You got to figure he's probably going to struggle to get any significant play right away. Like, he's gonna have to earn it. And if you're not a believer like me, if you're more a naysayer like Brian, you know, there's a good chance he may not be able to do that. I'll take your stunned silence as complete disbelief and think that Jerick McKinnon's gonna go be awesome somewhere else. Excellent.
I was gonna let Brian defend himself.
Yeah, so for, well, I mean, I don't know about McKinnon being done. I think the contract definitely doesn't help him moving forward. Like you said, $1.5 million is the dead cap. But for me, I guess what I will talk about on this part is I'm more into Breda than I am Morris. And for me, it comes down exactly to what Travis said. He's the receiving back in that offense. And I think that's what made McKinnon really exciting in that offense. You know, Hyde caught 58 balls last year. Breida caught 21. So, I mean, there's a lot of running back targets in that offense. And I don't think Alfred Morris is really known for his pass catching. So
he's known for not pass catching.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think in the offense that they're going to run, I think Breida is going to be the one that benefits from McKinnon's injury more so than Morris. I mean, Morris is going to get the early down work probably for the most part. You know, but Breida is going to be the guy that I think week to week you can, you know, Morris is going to have up and down weeks. I think Breida is going to be the more consistent guy. You know, plug him in, he's going to get four catches for somewhere around 35 yards or something like that, which can be valuable in, you know, if you don't have solid running backs or if you're just plugging and playing guys week to week. So, so that's why I'd be a little bit more interested in him, but it's a shame for McKinnon. I mean, I've never really been super high on him, but at the same time, you hate to see these guys get hurt and not get an opportunity to prove, you know, that they're worth the contract that they've signed. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. So kind of a bummer, regardless of the player, when you hear ACL's gone. So
yeah, that sucks. Speaking of sucks, why don't Brian, since you're a Steelers fan, why don't you talk about Le'Veon Bell a little bit?
Oh man.
Or do you like need some time to compose yourself and you want me to talk about it? That's fine. I understand.
Well, yeah. So obviously, I mean, the news is Bell's still not in camp. He's still not, well, not camp at this point. He's still not in the Steelers training facility. So his status for week one is doubtful. In fact, I'm not sure, but I think I saw something on Twitter that he has now been ruled out for week one. So
I saw likely out is all I saw. I mean, I haven't checked since this afternoon. It's Wednesday, by the way, when we're recording.
Yeah.
So at last I saw was likely out. I haven't seen anything since then.
So, yeah. I mean, this situation is just a cluster. You know, I mean, Bell is an elite talent. He's an unbelievable running back. You know, but the last two seasons here, last two off seasons, it's just been a mess. It's been a distraction to the team. You have three different offensive linemen on that front that have come out and made disparaging comments about Bell and the way he's handled this situation, especially this year. You know, last year was a little bit different. I mean, everybody was kind of, you know, supportive of him. Hey, business is business. You got to do your thing. And now this year they're kind of like, hey, like, you know, it's time to put up or shut up and get in here. You know, we're trying to win. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. From a real life perspective, from a fantasy perspective, you know, obviously, if you were banking on Bell early here in the season, you got to be a little bit nervous right now, right? I mean, when is he going to come back? Is it going to be, and then, you know, is he going to come back this week and maybe miss week one, but be available week two? Is he going to sit out, you know, 7 weeks, come back after the bye, 10 weeks? I think 10 weeks is the longest he can sit out without, like, adding another year of control to the Steelers.
Part of the contract. He needs to play stuff. Six games in order right. to add to for this season to count towards free agency.
Right. So, so I guess that would probably be the longest that he would miss would be 10 games. But, you know, we'll see how this whole thing plays out. It's unfortunate. You know, I know Le'Veon is doing this because he thinks it's in his best interest in terms of keeping his health and signing a big contract in the offseason. I just, to me, Pittsburgh is the best place for him. I mean, he's developed into an elite running back in Pittsburgh with Pittsburgh's organization, with Roethlisberger, with Antonio Brown on the outside, with, you know, multiple weapons that defenses have to account for, right? So if he goes to the New York Jets or the, I mean, I guess Cleveland has more weapons than they usually do, but, you know, if he, wherever he goes, you know, if the offense isn't as, you know, high powered or doesn't have the amount of weapons or whatever, and he is the focus of the game plan every week, we'll see what happens. I mean, obviously he's talented, but there's more than just talent at the running back position that goes into the success that a running back has. So we'll see what happens with it all. It's a shame. Like I said, I would like to have seen him sign long-term in Pittsburgh, you know, but it's not going to happen at this point. And honestly, even if he does show up and tears it up, I mean, I don't really know. Pittsburgh's kind of a proud city. And I don't think, you know, he's kind of burning some bridges here. Well, not here. I'm not there, but he's burning some bridges in Pittsburgh. So I don't think, you know, this isn't going to end well for him in Pittsburgh from a fan perspective. I don't think he gives a crap. And I don't know that he should. I mean, he's, you know, he's a professional. So, but yeah, it's interesting stuff. It's a shame. I wish he'd get to camp from a personal perspective. Obviously, as a Steelers fan, I want him in camp. And, you know, I think he gives them the best chance to win. You know, they have a better chance to win with him in the backfield. So, but we'll see how it all plays out.
Travis, are you buying or selling Bell with all of the stuff going on? Dynasty.
I've been selling Bell for a year, so.
Yeah, so you saw this coming, and you're just wanted out.
I didn't see this coming. Well, but there was all sorts of question marks and stuff around him. So I don't own him anywhere, and you could probably still get enough for him right now. Where, you know, you're not going to have to sell him super cheap. I think there's going to be people out there that are thinking the opposite and thinking, oh, I can get him slightly discounted, you know, versus 3 weeks ago. And that might be the case. You might have to discount him a little bit, but I mean, he's still an elite asset. And so I think you can still get quite a bit for him. If he were to miss those 10 games, it would cost him $8.5 million in game checks.
Chump change.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, that's, you know, I mean, you're doing this whole thing to get a long-term contract for a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Brian, what do you feel about, there's a tweet I saw from JJ Zacharyson today that over the last 16 games that the Steelers have played without Le'Veon Bell, they've averaged more points per game as a team than with him.
Yeah, so I think some of that probably had to do with D'Angelo Williams, the years that he was there. You know, he was able to step right into that role, similar type of back in terms of skill set. Different runner, but very good pass catching back. So I don't think they missed a beat when D'Angelo was in there. But yeah, no, I mean, when Le'Veon's in the game and he's in the game plan, he's going to get his touches, right? I think Le'Veon, the reason he has an issue with his contract and the reason that he's so valuable to Pittsburgh is because of the way he catches the ball. I don't know that they're going to miss. I mean, he's a very good runner, too. Don't get me wrong. He's very patient. He doesn't run like other backs run. You know, he stand there at the line of scrimmage for 3 seconds before he, you know, decides which way he's going to go. James Conner's not that type of runner. James Conner's going to put his head down and just get what he gets, right? He's going to see a hole. He's going to go for it and then. It's almost like that back to the 3 yards in a cloud of dust type of thing. Hopefully he averages more 3 yards carry. But, you know, as far as the offense, though, without Bell in it, Antonio Brown is their best offensive player. Does Roethlisberger focus more on him and throw him the ball more and use him more when Le'Veon is not in the game? I think he does. So that could have something to do with it, too. I mean, they just move to a passing offense a little bit more when he's not in there and don't grind games out as much. But here's the thing about the Steelers. And anybody that's not a Steelers fan will hate hearing this stuff. But, I mean, they have more world championships than anybody else, right, for a reason. The same family runs the organization that ran the organization you know, for its entirety, basically. So they do things the Steeler way. I mean, people talk about the Patriot way all the time. Well, Steelers run their organization in a certain manner. They don't overpay for players. Doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter who they are. They've never done it, not one time in the history of the organization. So Le'Veon is no exception in this case. You know, they've let superstar players go in the past. Levon Kirkland was an unbelievable linebacker. I remember he's one of my favorite players when I was growing up. He was a stud, huge dude, just crushed people all the time. They let him go, and I think he was out of the league in a year and a half, you know. And there's multiple examples of this happening with Pittsburgh where they let a player leave town and don't pay them, you know, elite money, and they're not in the league 2 years later. And I know this will probably sound ridiculous or maybe it fits in with the show, the hot takey show, right? But Le'Veon, I don't know that if he doesn't play in Pittsburgh this year, I'm not sure he's ever going to return to elite status in the league. He might, but
Travis just did one of those like rub down your entire face. And since he has that really long beard, it took a really long time to go down. Like, right. He's,
I just cited the Steelers rant. Nah, man, that was good stuff. And it's a crazy situation. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. All I was trying to say is that the Steelers are better without him, Brian.
Damn.
On that big long thing. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, he was just looking for you to say like Juju's awesome, and like he was hoping that would be it.
Yeah, best offensive player is Antonio Brown. How are you gonna do Vance McDonald like that, man?
20? What do you have? 20 targets?
It's clearly, clearly a joke.
I was waiting to see how you'd answer that.
Tight end 3 next year. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, tight end 3 on the team probably next year.
Ooh.
I like Vance. That was just, I had nothing else to say. All right. Well, I'm bored of talking about the Steelers, so we're going to move on. That's all the news, I think, that we're really going to talk about. But what I want to talk a little bit about cutdown day. There were some surprising cuts, and the few that I actually want to talk about, Dan Bailey got cut, and I don't think anybody knows why, and Twitter was pissed. Like, all the cuts that you could find, I really think people were talking about Dan Bailey more than anyone else. And in case you don't, Dan Bailey is the kicker for the Cowboys. And
was.
I apologize. Like, I feel like someone just made me say allegedly or something. And he was the second most accurate kicker in NFL history, or someone made that up and I'm repeating it. Hopefully your league doesn't have kickers anymore, so this doesn't necessarily affect you fantasy-wise. I just thought it was hilarious that Twitter was just just outraged with Dan Bailey getting cut. The other three that I actually cared about, Josh Adams got cut, the running back from the Philadelphia Eagles. I thought that was kind of crazy. To me, I thought Jay Ajayi is going to be gone after this year because he's pretty much just on this 1 year kind of contract. No. Yes, his contract's up after this year. Those are the words I meant to say. And on their roster, they don't really have another hard-nosed running back kind of guy, and that was Josh Adams. And with him gone, I don't really know what direction they're going in, though I do love me some Corey Clement.
Josh, and there's one problem with Josh Adams, and that was he just wasn't very good.
That doesn't necessarily matter when
he went to Notre Dame, so he's automatically good.
Well, okay.
Well, the national media automatically loves him because he went to Notre Dame. That's different than actually being good. It was just that he kind of fit what they needed, at least after this year. So I guess maybe they plan on addressing that at a later time, and they just don't care for right now.
So let me jump in on that conversation real quick here. So Corey Clement, you were talking about Corey Clement. Okay. Corey Clement is their next running back.
Yeah, but he's not a workhorse.
Wisconsin would tell you differently. 314 carries for 1,375 yards and 15 touchdowns his senior year at Wisconsin.
Brian, Dunnell Pumphrey would tell you differently.
Well, that's fair.
Well, that and all Wisconsin running backs look good in Wisconsin.
Hey, Melvin Gordon's a stud.
All right, who else?
Corey Clement.
Mm-hmm.
I got Ron
Dane. How's Ron Dane working out?
I've never seen Ron Dane working out.
That's the only one I remember. My stepbrother and went to Wisconsin.
Monty Ball.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Well, they got one coming, buddy, but we won't get into that today.
This is the wrong show for that. Yes. All right. So I'm sad about this next one. Well, this may not really even affect dynasty rosters because they were ends of the bench people anyway. The Denver Hendersons have been cut. D'Angelo Henderson and Carlos Henderson. I think I've talked about these guys multiple times on this show. These were my guys. These were my stashes. I loved these guys, and now I love them from afar because they are, well, D'Angelo landed on the Jets, I believe, but Carlos, I believe, is still unclaimed.
Jets practice squad, yeah, for D'Angelo.
Yeah, that's right. So that kind of made me sad. It cleared up a couple of roster spots before me, so I guess that's a good thing, right? Yeah, but those are the people I was a little surprised about. Travis, I think, just typed a couple of people while I was talking, so why don't you talk about your guys?
That's not true. I was totally prepared for this segment.
Mm-hmm.
So I added Bo Scarborough just because it seemed like he had some talent coming out of the draft, but he did fall to the seventh round, so the NFL didn't really think that highly of him. But I just thought it was surprising because it only leaves Zeke and what's his face?
Rod Smith.
Zeke and Rod Smith. There's the only two active running backs on the roster right now. So I just thought that was interesting that they didn't keep him, at least for a depth piece. And then Jonathan Williams from the Saints, man, that was pretty surprising.
Yeah, really, I forgot who it was. Someone tweeted out, like, there must be something we don't know about him.
That was Ryan McDowell, I think.
Was it? Yeah, because it's every time he's a backup somewhere, it's like, this dude's good. He's going to be the guy because he was in Buffalo for a while and McCoy's always pulling hammies. I think he went somewhere else after that. I don't even remember anymore. And now he was, you know, hopefully the guy when Ingram is out and suspended. And no, he's not.
No, he's not.
No, he's not. So
he was looking like he was in line for somewhat of a role the first 4 weeks, but I don't know if they saw Gillislee out on the wire and were like, oh, bye.
I think they really like Boston Scott too.
No, they just cut him.
Did they really?
Yeah, man, I was surprised.
Damn,
after I spent $1 on him on my Scott Fishbowl fab.
Oh, darn you. Man, yeah, man, he was. That was a surprising cut too. That was just,
just this morning. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
So it looks like Alvin Kamara might Gillislee for the first 4 weeks. Probably mostly Alvin Kamara.
That worries me.
How much work are you going to give Mike Gillislee, who signed 5 days ago?
Not much.
Yeah.
Not much.
All right. Well, that is news, notes, cuts, and anything else that's not hot takes and trades, because that's all we have left to talk about. So let's get into hot takes. We haven't actually pre-discussed how we're going to do this, so how about Travis? Just read down your list. We'll talk about it and tell you how awesome they are because we're nice to our guests.
Oh, well, let me go a little hotter then here. Yeah. You guys are just going to be in agreeance. Well, my first one.
You got both of us in this first one.
First one is Andrew Luck finishes as the fantasy quarterback 2, and Eric Ebron catches double-digit touchdowns.
Yeah, that's...
Wait. You're on board with that?
I am probably only second to you in Eric Ebron love.
Wow.
True. That's true.
We got to hang out, man.
Yeah. It's too hot in Arizona, so you have to come to New Jersey. No, I threw out a tweet once that Eric Ebron is the next Zach Ertz. And
oh man, I bet you got so much.
It's all downhill since there. Like, it was half of a joke when I sent it. Now I've dug in too far. Now it's the truth. Eric Ebron is going to be the next Zach Ertz, whether I like it or not. It's happening.
Yeah, man. I just don't get the Jack Doyle over Eric Ebron thing. I mean,
at all.
Yeah, Jack Doyle is a below average NFL tight end. Yeah,
all hands.
he had a good season last year, but that was with Jacoby Brissett. I'm counting that season out for every Colts player. I don't count that season. And I just, you know, he got volume because he was the only guy there. And then in the offseason, the Colts decided to bring in one of the best available free agent tight ends in Eric Ebron to compete for that tight end position. And he's dramatically more athletic. Yes, he has stone hands at times, but he looked good this preseason. We obviously know that the Colts and Andrew Luck have an extensive history of using the tight end as a focal point of the offense. And I just think when it comes down to it, you've got Jack Doyle and you got Eric Ebron. I mean, they're both going to catch a bunch of balls. I'm not saying Jack Doyle is going to be useless, but I think there's a legitimate chance that Eric Ebron finishes with more receptions than Jack Doyle does. And obviously, double-digit touchdowns.
Woo! I love it.
Boy, right.
Wait. Real quick, who's your QB1? Do you know, or you just picked 2 for Luck?
It's there. It's always Aaron Rodgers, man.
I was just seeing if there was a hotter take like buried in there somewhere. But I guess not.
Andy Dalton.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely not. So should I just go through the rest of them? Or?
Yeah, just keep going, man.
All right. So Marquise Goodwin finishes as a top 16 wide receiver. This seemed a lot hotter when I looked it up a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's been looking pretty good in the preseason as their like go-to guy.
Yeah, man. And the chemistry between him and Garoppolo and that connection that they've had really, I mean, the preseason just reinforced that for me. I think he's the wide receiver 1 on this offense, no doubt. He's not just a run fast down the field and on a go route guy like people mistakenly believe him to be. He used to be that, but I think he's developed as a player and he's shown that. And yeah, I mean, I'm all bought in for Marquise Goodwin. Top 16, I don't know how bold that is, but
I think it's pretty bold.
I think it's pretty bold.
Yeah, people are still used to the San Francisco 49ers being bad. That, you know, that maybe they don't realize that he probably was pretty close to top 16 towards the end of the year last year anyway, that to pull that over a season, as long as he doesn't get his 19th concussion, I think it's totally awesomely doable.
You want to hear a crazy, crazy stat?
I love crazy stats.
Yes.
You might have already heard it if you listen to
Don't try and tear it down. We're excited.
First time you're hearing a stat on a Trade Addicts pod.
I know, right?
In the 6 games that Marquise Goodwin played with Jimmy Garoppolo last year, he averaged 8.17 targets, 5.5 receptions, and 77 yards per game, which was 14.53 PPR points per game, which would have made him the wide receiver 10 last season. And in the 10 games before Jimmy Garoppolo started, he would have been the wide receiver 50.
Wow. I mean, wow, words. You knew that there was a very big difference between pre-Jimmy GQ and after, but that's ridiculous. And it's also kind of weird to think that little, it sounds so few points to make you a wide receiver 10. Like, you feel like it needs to be like 30 points a game. Right, that actually seems kind of obtainable.
Yeah, 14.53 points per game.
Yeah, right? No, but that's, I mean, I guess I'm not that high on Goodwin. I like him. I never bought into the Pierre Garçon's going to go back to the 5 years ago when he was the target hog for Shanahan narrative. But yeah, I love this. And I love your next one. So just jump right in.
My next one. Oh, yeah. Jamison Crowder will be a top 20 wide receiver.
I like it, because especially because we just talked about before that I traded for Jamison Crowder.
Yeah, man. I love Jamison Crowder.
Is this purely Alex Smith, or do you, for some reason, actually like Jamison Crowder as a talent?
Well, I think he's a good player, and it's partly Alex Smith. That when you say, oh, he's going to be good because of Alex Smith, it comes off as lazy analysis, but the numbers back it up, man. I mean, their A dots line up perfectly. And if you look at, I got all this off of, I don't even know what I was going to say. Cut that part out.
Nope.
If you look at like the percentage of passes thrown in certain areas of the field, mm-hmm. those match up perfectly as well. Like, and Jamison Crowder and Alex Smith both have an above league average catch rate for Crowder and completion rate for Smith in, you know, passes behind 15 yards out, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You follow that logic at all?
I'll pretend. Yeah.
Okay. Anyways. Oh, I was going to say, I got those off of ffstatistics.com. So you can go check those out if you want. But
no, I'm going to edit that part out. So it just seems like you didn't know what you were talking about.
All right. Well, now you have to set out both. Now you have to cut out both of them.
I'm not editing any of this out.
So it seems like lazy analysis to be like, oh, he's going to be good because Alex Smith likes to throw short balls. But the numbers are there to back that up too. And then it's also for me a lack of faith in Paul Richardson and Josh Doctson. I just think I think Jamison Crowder is the best receiver on that team.
Yeah. I agree. Like, I just, more than anything, Alex Smith's game, even if you build in last year, doesn't fit, especially Josh Doctson. Now, Josh Doctson is a big dude who is very good at contested catches. He's not super fast or anything. And Richardson's almost the same thing, except he is kind of super fast. So, I mean, maybe he catches one or two deep balls that will carry over from Smith throwing deep from Hill last year. But still, it's going to come down to Crowder, and it's going to come down to Chris Thompson. And what happens to Chris Thompson? He twists his ankle every 3 days. So, I mean, there's a good chance he's missing some games. So I've been scooping up Crowder anywhere I can.
Do you guys think that the Alex Smith effect translates over to the tight end position as well, overall?
Well, I mean, Reed is awesome if he's alive.
What about Davis? Because Smith and Davis, when they were both in San Francisco, had a pretty nice thing going on there. And obviously they were a lot earlier in their careers and a lot younger men at the time. But do you think that could be something? I mean, do you think Vernon Davis has value because of that?
I think that Vernon Davis is one of the few true handcuffs at the tight end position.
Mm-hmm.
He independently has value outside of Jordan Reed, essentially.
If Jordan Reed is healthy and on the field, I don't think so, no.
Okay.
Maybe in a two tight end league.
Yeah, no. Still no. Also, just not a fan of tight end leagues, to throw it out there. All right, wrap it up. What's your last hot take?
Last one, Alshon Jeffrey will finish as a top 10 wide receiver in points per game. I had to throw in the in points per game because he's missing week one and two and maybe even more. I don't know.
Have we heard, has there been any clarity to that? Because last I remember, it was like at least, was it at least two games or was it?
It was reported as a minimum of two games. And then Doug Peterson got all pissed off at the press because somebody said that. And he said that wasn't true. And they never said that. But then they're saying that that's probably what's going to happen. So it's still looking like that's the sort of time frame we're looking at. He's obviously not playing tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm just stoked he avoided the pup list, because I traded for him after knowing about the whole shoulder surgery thing and hoping he was only going to miss one or two. So I'm just glad he's, you know, not missing six games.
Yeah, when that news came out that he should miss 2 weeks, I took that as good news, because the report prior to that was potentially pup. So yeah, man, and that's like, that essentially comes down to how good he was in the last part of the season last year with Carson Wentz. Mm-hmm. And so with both of them, when both of them come back, I think Alshon's going to be the guy there, and I think he's going to surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, we talked about him last episode, I think, about how, I mean, maybe he never becomes, you know, Jay Cutler, Alshon Jeffrey again. But I think he's, I mean, again, I was about to say like a steady 17 points a game, but apparently all you need is 14 to be the wide receiver 10. So, I mean, I still think he's a good steady double digits every single game when he's in that high-flying Philadelphia offense. So I'm a big fan. I like all of your takes. Like, that's weird. But I'll take
You want to hear another crazy stat?
Yay!
Yes. I actually have it this time. So he played 13. Alshon Jeffrey played 13 games with Wentz, and he averaged 13.32 point PPR points per game, which would have made him the wide receiver 16 over a 16 game period. But he was a brand new player to that offense. And so in the last half of that year, we have to remember Carson Wentz missed those last couple games too. So in the last six games with Carson Wentz, Alshon Jeffrey averaged 17.3 points per game. And that six game pace in, you know, after he was fully integrated into the offense with his new quarterback would have made him the wide receiver 4.
Wow.
Right, obviously that's nuts, and we can't just extrapolate things like that, but it's interesting.
You just did it. It happened.
It happened. Yeah. It just shows how much of a focal point he became.
Yeah.
And there's a chance that, you know, 80% of that carries over a full season, and that would probably make him wide receiver 10. So there you go. I win.
Yay. Travis wins. Brian, you've been relatively quiet this entire time. Do you have any strong feelings about any of his takes besides obviously Andrew Luck?
Yeah, the Andrew Luck one is the one that I'm obviously a strong supporter of. No, these are all good ones. I think these are all very, very bold, but I like all of the players that we talked about in this stretch here. The Goodwin stat really got me. I didn't realize his connection with Jimmy G was quite that. I didn't realize they were quite that potent together. So, but no, I like all of those. Those are some good ones for sure.
Yeah, cool. Why don't you just run into yours?
Yeah,
you guys were way too nice.
We'll save the mean stuff for off air. We want to make everyone think we're really nice.
These hot takes were a bunch of garbage, and Travis.
I'm used to my co-host just disagreeing with everything that comes out of my mouth. So
see, the real joke of all of this is I'm going to pretend this didn't record and just be like, "Nah, man, Travis just was so bad, we just deleted it all."
So here's an interesting thing too, Travis. That I don't know if we talked about this with John when he was on, but my thought processes when I'm listening to your show and when I've interacted with you guys all a bunch on Twitter and on the internet and whatnot. I think I tend to find myself. So when John came on the show, I don't know if you listened to that particular episode, but
I did. Of course I did.
So John and I went at it several times about players. Now I will say it was much less hostile than the battles that you guys have. But, you know, as far as player evaluation and those types of things, I think I have a similar way of or I find myself agreeing with your takes a lot on the show. And I'm not saying that to suck up to you, because like I said, we had John on and we're going to have hopefully James on as well at some point. But yeah, so I don't know where the hell I was going with all of that. So
I think he just loves you. I think that's the point.
Yeah, I love you.
He did the hard hands, guys. I know, you know, you guys can't actually see that, but
I'm going to send you a poster of my face so you can put it over your thermostat there.
Sweet. Sweet. No, anything's better than the off-white or yellow or whatever it is thermostat above my head on the video for sure.
Me and you are either going to be right about a lot of things or really wrong about a lot of things.
Indeed. That sums up Brian's life pretty much.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Go for it, Brian. Tell us how you're really right or really wrong about all of these.
Yeah, so to start off, I'll start off with Lev, since we talked about him a little bit earlier. My hot take on Le'Veon Bell is that he will not play another down for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that he will move to New York, most likely, and play for the Jets while becoming a, in quotation marks, I have terrible, rapper, because if you've ever listened to any of his rap music, it is god-awful. It is awful. Awful. I like that type of music somewhat, and he is not talented whatsoever. He's a much better running back than he is a rapper. So anyways, we'll leave that all alone. And then the last part of that is that he never returns to elite status, and that the Jets waste their money. Yeah, that's my part of that is bitter Yinzer in me. You know, if I did that all in a Yinzer accent, y'all be really enjoying that. But
I was just gonna say I don't buy it unless it comes out in the Yinzer accent.
Yeah,
do you purposely hide it, or like do you just not have it?
So if you're from Pittsburgh,
heard it.
Yeah, Travis has heard it. So if you're from Pittsburgh, you probably can pick it up a little bit. But yeah, if you're not from Pittsburgh, you probably can't. Yeah, let me see if I can. I don't know if I can even put
You've
one.
You've never treated your listeners of your own podcast to this, Brian?
No, I have not.
You should be ashamed of yourself. It's beautiful, yeah. Russ. It's beautiful.
Are we allowed
to reveal your identity?
So Lev Bell there, he ain't going to play another dime for the Steelers in that. He's gonna get up there in New York with all them bright lights and that up there, all them famous people and that. And he's gonna join the Jets. He's gonna be a terrible rapper, and I'm not talking about good terrible like the terrible towel. I'm talking like terrible, terrible. And he ain't never gonna return to elite status. So that's where that hot take went.
Oh my god!
You are welcome.
Isn't that awesome?
Oh my god.
And he didn't even say Yinz guys.
Yeah, Yinz. Hey, Yinz are gonna get a lot of feedback on the show about this and right here.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah.
All right, composure.
So that's my Lev Bell hot take.
That's the only reason I came on this show tonight was for that right there, man.
I don't know how the hell I'm editing this show. All right, so wait, you're saying oh no, no, that is absolutely going to be here. This, yeah, no, I'm. That's going to be the entire show. Is that 2 minutes of you talking just over and over again for 45 just minutes?
Put it on a loop.
So you're saying he's not going to play another down for Pittsburgh. Are you saying he sits out the season or he's getting traded?
I don't think it's either. I think if he sits out long enough, they're going to rescind the tag. I really do.
I keep forgetting they could do that. And I mean, I know nothing about rules. Can he just go sign somewhere else?
I think he can.
Like, I remember this happened with Josh Norman. Someone reminded me last time I said, did this ever happen before? But I don't remember how it played out, how he ended up in Washington.
Yeah, I think he just becomes a free agent at that point.
Right.
All right, cool. That's interesting. Now I kind of want to see that happen because that would be fun.
But the other thing I could see, I mean, if that does happen, I mean, that's, I don't think that's a, and the Steelers may not go that way, because what if he signs with New England for like 2 months at the end of the year or something? And, you know, before he goes off as a real free agent, you know, what if he signs a 3-month contract with the Patriots to stick it to the Steelers and then go, not that they need his help doing that, but, you know, and then he signs the big contract in the offseason with the Jets or with Cleveland or whoever. So anyways.
All right. Well, that's enough. Steelers.
So this one's a lot more enjoyable to talk about since Le'Veon has me in depression right now. Yeah. So the next one is that the Bears will make the playoffs and might even make a little noise there. And for me, this comes down to two things. One is Mitch Trubisky.
Biscuits.
And the other one is now Khalil Mack, yeah, who I think dramatically changes that defense overall. And makes them a team that is they're in a lot better shape than they were 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And much better shape, you know, than they were obviously this time last year. You know, Trubisky has a year under his belt. He's got a lot more weapons than he had previously. I mean, Allen Robinson, we've talked about on the show a number of times. I think he's a true wide receiver one for an NFL team. You know, Anthony Miller is a really good complement to him. You know, they have the tight ends now in Burton and Shaheen. So, you know, I mean,
Shaheen's
that off
on the IR, by the way,
is it long-term though? Or is it,
well, there is no such thing as to return anymore. You go on the IR and they have like two people that could designate to return whenever the hell they choose. It used to be, you need to designate in the beginning. Now it's just you put them on IR and you could bring two people back.
Okay. Well, then
because I had no idea. I never saw it reported, but I was setting my lineups in MFL and I saw the I next to him, his name. And it was not like I was going to play him or anything, but I was just very surprised by it.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I totally just derailed you. My bad.
Oh, that's okay. No, but the bottom line is they have a lot more, you know, a lot more talent around Trubisky. And I watched a video on Twitter and I can't remember who posted it, but it was about Trubisky and his accuracy and showing how many balls the Bears receivers or pass catchers dropped last season and what his, I mean, he was right around 60%, I think, completion percentage, just under maybe for the season. But, if you count for like the drops, you know, he was much better than that. And he was making big time NFL throws. So I think he's a talented guy that will take another step this year in his second season. And then again, the defense, you know, I think Khalil Mack's a player that can completely transform that defense. So they are in a tough division with the Vikes in the pack and even Detroit. I mean, that division top to bottom is pretty solid. So, you know, I don't know. I just have, you know, a feeling that the Bears here can maybe make the playoffs and do something this year. So
Travis, you have any crazy stats about the Bears?
No, I don't. I'm on board with it though.
Okay. So, yeah, just keep talking.
All right. So, moving along, my next one here is one that I think you're going to talk about too. I don't know if you want to jump in after this or if you want to wait your turn, but
no, I'm not waiting my turn.
So I have a Super Bowl prediction. I have the LA Rams from the NFC and the Jacksonville Jaguars from the AFC, and I actually have the Jags winning the whole thing this year.
See, now first of all, the victory in this was that you actually called them the Los Angeles Rams, because I still have not done that yet. Second of all, I also, you know, we each seem to have four hot takes, but mine was taken down to three because the Jaguars winning the Super Bowl was one of mine. But the real reason I did this was because I think right now, all right, I'm gonna put you guys on the spot. When someone says you need a good Super Bowl, a good quarterback to win the Super Bowl, who's the one guy you bring up to be like, no, you don't. This guy won a Super Bowl.
Trent Dilfer.
It's gonna be Blake Bortles from now on. We are going to move on from Trent Dilfer because that is the correct answer. And everyone's going to be like, dude, Blake Bortles won a Super Bowl. We don't need a good quarterback.
Joe Flacco, Nick Foles.
So every Ravens quarterback there's ever been.
And then, man, I just like got caught so off guard. I was just like, I had nothing to say to that. Okay, so now apparently we have completely just killed my joke of Blake Bortles being the new Trent Dilfer. And came up with more quarterbacks that are bad that have won the Super Bowl. So
let's go. The Blake is going to be on the list.
Okay. He's going to head the list just because hashtag the Blake. So let's get our obligatory Bay talk in.
So of all of these hot takes, this is the one probably for me that was like easy to do. Of course, it's about Saquon Barkley. I believe Saquon Barkley is going to be league in the conversation for league MVP. So truly in consideration for that award, and that next offseason in the fantasy world, we're going to be taking him 101 overall. So Saquon 01 that will continue at least moving forward here a year from now.
Now, Travis,
pretty bold, man.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't really know your Saquon takes.
I'm on board with Saquon, dude. He's really, 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 really good.
That was a lot of reallys. That was a crazy stat right there. That is a trade so at stat.
Yeah. My only like hesitation there is he's not only going to have a phenomenal season to do that. Gurley, Zeke,
DJ,
Kamara, everybody else, they're going to have not as good of seasons as Saquon. So, I mean, for him to be the 101 in dynasty startups in ADP, I mean, that's going to have to happen.
I listened to so many podcasts. I can't even remember who it was, but they were talking about the last running back to win MVP was Adrian Peterson. And that was when he went for over 2,000 yards.
Well, that's why I didn't pick him to actually win it. I picked him to be in consideration. I think, I really think, I'd say 2 weeks ago, I would have said DJ and Zeke were the two for me that probably, if Zeke stays out of trouble, of course, and if everybody stays healthy, that those two were the ones that I just kind of automatically would have put ahead of him. I want to see Gurley do it again.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see him do it again. If he does it again, then he's going to be the unquestioned 101, or at least he'll be the top running back taken. Let's say that.
Hashtag always Odell.
Right. So, you would get an argument on that from Travis too, I think. But we won't get into Odell.
No, we're going to leave him muted right now, like he is.
but you know, for me, I think DJ, I really think David Johnson has a legit shot at 1,000 and 1,000 this year. I really do.
Oh man, DJ 2K, it works.
It does work. Oh, and snap. I think he has a legit shot at that. So the thing about DJ though is, you know, I mean, if Saquon has 1,750 total yards or something like that, or 1,800 total yards, DJ has 2,100 total yards, something like that. I mean, the age difference between those two players in Dynasty, I think, I mean, DJ's going to be 27. You know, Saquon is going to, he'd be 22 after the season, right? So that's why I think he has a shot. If he has the type of season, I hope that he has. And he may or may not have it. We'll see what happens. But if he has that type of season, I think that's why he's going to be, why he will be, you know, could possibly be the top running back off the board. Zeke for me is a guy 2 weeks ago, I would have said, I mean, and they're still going to feed the crap out of him, but that offensive line, all of a sudden, you know, it was such a strength, and all of a sudden with, you know, the Frederick stuff and everything else that's going on there, I'm not as confident as I was 2 weeks ago.
Hence, you're trying to trade him to me.
Well, I mean, I still think the volume is going to be there, and Zeke's young enough that he's got enough time to deal with a season of turmoil and still come out of the other side of it as an elite stud. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's only 22 years old as well. So, I mean, you know, but yeah, I mean, I think Saquon, if he has the type of season that I'm hoping he's going to have, I think that he'll be in that conversation. He's going to be one of the elite talents in this league. So
he's already being drafted at it. So as long as he doesn't screw it up, right?
Right.
All right, that is your hot takes, and now it's my hot takes, and mine seem kind of not really as sizzling after you guys, but...
I think your first one is.
So my first one is Deontay Foreman is going to come back after the Week 11 bye and take the running back one job from Lamar Miller, leaving Lamar Miller to disappoint his fantasy owners yet again. I've always been a bit of a Lamar Miller fan, but there is so much Lamar Miller hate going around that I think, like, he will be, like, undraftable. No one's going to want to touch him. And it's, of course, that can't drive a man out of the actual NFL. But, like, I think there'll be a petition to get him off of MFL or something that no one's just going to want to touch him. I know there's all the Achilles stats. I don't care.
Interesting.
That's what I say. That's what I say to that. Give me your stats. Nope. Don't care.
Achilles, nope. All right.
The dude's like 19. He heals better than probably anyone that there are stats on. Yeah, that's what I thought.
I can't argue. I'm not on board with it. I'll just say that.
I think this is like the first.
Not a big Dont'a Foreman guy.
See, I was a fan of his during the whole draft process, so I was always on the train, and I was sad when he got hurt.
Yeah, so I actually was too, and I think Bill O'Brien really liked him. You know, before he was injured last year, I think the thing that helps Lamar Miller in this case, I mean, when you look at the way he played with Deshaun Watson before Watson went down with the injury, I mean, he was the RB7, I think, before Watson got hurt. So, you know, he fits pretty well in that offense overall. You know, he can catch the ball out of the backfield. you know, which he showed in those weeks with Deshaun Watson. I mean, obviously Watson makes that whole offense better. So either one of those backs would benefit long term. But I just think Miller's going to have a chance to show what he can do in the first however many weeks Foreman is on the sidelines with the you know, still recovering from the Achilles. Mm-hmm. And it would take very mediocre play, I think, for Foreman to get the opportunity to really take that job towards the end of this season. Yeah. Now, next off season, you know, maybe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Miller's contract is practically up. I don't know if it really is, but, you know, it was easy to cut him at the beginning before this season. So I don't really know the actual numbers, but I'm going to assume if they could have cut him now, they could easily cut him later, even if it's not up. So, yeah, Dante Foreman. Travis unmuted himself and leaned forward.
I was prepping for your next one because it's pretty hot considering Brian's last take here.
Yeah, I know. I really did this purposely for Brian. my next hot take is that there are going to be no rookie running backs in the top 10 fantasy finishers. How does that feel, Brian?
Hot fire.
Hurts a little bit.
How does that make your last hot take feel?
Well, here's the thing I'd say about that.
Oh, man. He adjusted the mic and everything. Here it comes.
He even leaned up.
So, I mean, if you don't know my Saquon Barkley, where I stand on Saquon Barkley,
then clearly yet, you haven't listened to this show.
But I don't think he's going to be the only one. I really don't. I mean, I think Geis would have finished in that range if he would have stayed healthy. I think Royce Freeman's going to finish in that range.
Royce,
You know, Royce. especially being named the starter there this week. And I just don't see it with Booker, so I'm not ultra concerned there. I don't think I've never thought Ronald Jones though. I mean, I'm not on the Rojo train. But you know, I just think there's a good chance that at least one will. I will agree that this is a hot take.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what happens here. We've been really lucky the last several years to have these rookie running backs make an impact immediately. It was Zeke a couple of years ago. Last year was Hunt and Kamara. So, I mean, it's been a lot of fun to watch these young kids come into the league and have success right away. But that wasn't the case, you know,
for like 7 years before that.
Yeah. Yeah. 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago. So, you know, so it'll be interesting to watch this and see if the trend continues over the last couple of years or if it kind of reverts back to previous years before that. So,
all right. And my last hot take, if there was an opposite of a rookie running back, it would be Marshawn Lynch. And I say Marshawn Lynch is going to be a top 5 running back and then retire. Like, I don't think the retire is that much of a hot take because he's playing because it's Oakland. And after this year, they become Vegas. And I just think that they're going to just run him into the ground because it's Gruden and he's stuck in 1974. And Lynch gets better the longer he runs. And he stayed healthy at the end of last year. So if he could stay healthy and just keep running because they're going to need offense with Mac gone, that I think top 5.
So I have a question. Do you guys think that if the Raiders, obviously this Raiders team is going nowhere, but if the Raiders would have been in the same situation against the Patriots in the Super Bowl that the Seahawks were, sorry, Russ.
Damn it.
Do you think they would have run the ball with Marshawn? Do you think Gruden? You think Gruden would have run the ball?
Is this because I went against Saquon? Is that what happened?
That's exactly what this. That's a revenge question right there.
I abstain.
I would like to see Marshawn go out like that. I really would. I would like to see him go out beasting. Oh, yeah. Because he was so much fun to watch when he was beast mode.
Oh yeah.
When he was truly in his prime there in those years in Seattle, the earthquake run with the whole mud.
Oh yeah, I used to watch the Beastquake run just for fun. Like I'd be bored. I'm like, oh, let's just watch some Beastquake.
I mean, that was awesome, you know. And I would like to see it for him. He's a happy go lucky dude that Yeah, I just I root for the guy, and I hope that, you know, he came back and played for his hometown team and all that, and it'd be nice to see him go out with a really good season. So I kind of hope this one happens. I don't know that it will. I think it does help that Travis's boy Chris Warren.
Oh yeah, that's right. I meant to bring that up. But like, I think you guys even talked about it. Like, it's like a stash move. You know, it was you when you were on Blueprint, you know, that it's pretty much they don't want to lose him, so they, you know, fake IR'd him for the year.
Right. Well, there was another report that he's actually having knee surgery, so I don't know how. I mean, it could just be a lie to cover up a lie. Who knows?
I'll edit that part out and we'll leave it that it was a fake injury because, you know, that fits what I was just saying. No, but I mean, like, think about it. Let's say
that totally makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. But let's say it was actually an intelligent decision to trade away Mac and not give him all that money because they're going to rebuild. You want to hold on to the young running back when you're doing that, because Chris Warren would have been taken by somebody with how good he looked in the preseason. So this guarantees when Lynch is gone, when they realize Doug Martin is still bad at football and Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington are still nothing, you have a running back.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Chris Warren's awesome.
Yeah. So I just needed to make sure we got enough of that talk in.
So Lynch top five is pretty nuts, dude.
Yeah, no, it was really like, that was really, I wanted to, oh yeah, I forgot to even to make the joke that I wanted, that he'll ride into the sunset on a rainbow of Skittles.
You had that one written down somewhere, didn't you?
I know, but I thought of it when I was typing this out. And I'm like, yeah, Skittles joke. And then I just completely.
So the only thing I'll say is we know John Gruden hasn't coached a team in 10 years, but the previous 8 years that he did coach a team, the running back one on his offense finished as a fantasy running back one only twice in 8 years. And it was running back 10, running back 9. So he's never had a running back finish higher than running back 9. And he only had an RB1 on his teams twice in the last 8 years that he coached a team.
Wow.
So that's pretty bold, man.
Well, yeah, that's right. I was about to say, don't throw stats at my hot take, but I guess really that's what makes it a hot take, right?
Right.
All right, so those are my hot takes, and I went, I reached out to Twitter to try and get some of use people's, I guess if you're going to use Yinzer, and I might as well.
We were trying to get Yin's takes on this stuff, too.
The use thing is more New York, but whatever, close enough. We're all just part of New York.
Yeah, I was going to say, Brian, you got to tell Russ that use people's is not the correct vernacular.
No.
Isn't correct. It's Yin's. All right, it's Yin's, and we eat Permani sandwiches, and we go downtown, and we drink pop. All right, and we root on. And we root
Hold on,
on.
A, let
we
me
root
open
on a Stellar's.
I need to open up Google Translate to find out what you're saying right now.
So, Travis, didn't you look when I came on the show and did the Yin's? Or I don't even think I did it. I don't think I did it on the air that day. But didn't you like look it up the next day or something? You were like, is this a real thing or is this like just him being an idiot?
Yeah, it was the first time I had ever heard the word Yins, and I actually had to go Google it. And
Pittsburghese, man, we got bucks out there.
It may or may not be a real thing. It depends on how much you believe things on the internet.
Yeah, you might just be JJ Zacharyson in disguise because he's the only other person I heard talk like that.
All right, let's hear these Twitter hot takes.
All right, Twitter hot takes. We'll go through them quickly because we've been talking a lot. At Mike B. McKinnon, who is
Trade Addicts 4.
Yep, Trade Addicts 4. He's clearly Mike. Nick Vinette will be a top 12 tight end. And then he even gives us some stats of 50,507. I mean, clearly I love that because go Hawks. I don't think it's going to happen. Yeah, but the Seahawks never use their tight ends anywhere but the red zone anyway. And Nick Vinette's not necessarily great at football.
well, let's call it 40,410 then. It'll still be top 12.
Yeah, it doesn't take much to be a top 12 tight end. I think that's really what this comes down to.
Right, right.
But yeah, I love it. Next one, at Dynasty Rob 1, who, again, people just like using their name.
Trade Addicts 2.
Trade Addicts 2. Sam Darnold will lead the Jets to the playoffs. That is a hot take. And Travis hasn't even like unfolded his arms behind his head. He's not even going to touch this one. All right. Medieval Gridiron at MG underscore Dynasty. Kenyon Drake will be a top 10 running back. See, I actually like this a little bit. I like Kenyon Drake. I just don't trust Adam Gase to not screw it up.
I think he spelled Kalen Ballage wrong.
That could be it. Maybe it was an autocorrect when he was typing it.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
And here we go. This is at DHH underscore Adam, Adam Wilde. Lev Bell's ADP will be higher in October of 2019 than it will be in October of 2018. Going completely against Brian's hot take. And Brian like has his head in his hands right now. So just go, Brian.
No, honestly, I think he's right. I mean, I think his ADP in October 18 here, so like a month from now, when he's not played a game yet and literally is screwing millions of fantasy owners, right? I think it'll be lower then than it will be in 19 when he's signed for a team for the next 4 years at $17.5 million or $19.5 million or whatever the hell it is he wants. So this one to me is I could see this one happening.
You just took the sizzle out of this take, man.
Sorry. No, I
yeah, I didn't,
I just think it could happen.
I didn't realize Adam said October. You cheated, Adam.
I mean, that's to be fair. Yeah. I mean, Adam is a bit of a cheater, so that's fine.
Ooh.
I'm just sorry. I'm just kidding. Sorry, Adam. Go listen to the Dynasty Owners Manual. That is a fantastic show, especially the episode that I was on. Best episode they've done.
Hands down.
All right. Well, that is our hot take episode. That was awesome. That was fun. That was a show we just recorded. So now let's get on to our Trade Addicts trades. Trade Addicts leagues are 12 teams, super flex, PPR, tight end premium. I should really keep writing that down because I could always worry I'm going to forget halfway through what the hell our leagues are. These are actually all Trade Addicts 3 leagues because we had a trade frenzy go down in this league. I pulled a hat trick yesterday, so that felt pretty awesome. Two of these are part of that, and then one of them is actually the fallout from one of my trades. First, we're going to talk about a trade between Brian and myself, co-host trade, hashtag the Blake. Blake Bortles, Christian McCaffrey, and a 2019 second for Carson Wentz, Aaron Jones, and a 2019 third. Since this was a trade between me, Brian, and me, somewhat proper English. Travis, what do you think about this one?
It's kind of a tough one. It essentially, what I ended up doing to decide was, I thought to myself, would I trade away Carson Wentz, Aaron Jones, and a 19 third for Blake Bortles, Christian McCaffrey, and a 19 second?
I mean, that's, yes, that is how you evaluate trades. Would you do that?
Okay, thanks. Thanks, bud. So I have to ask myself that question on both sides of it. And the answer is no, I wouldn't. So I'm gonna take Carson Wentz. So basically the downgrade from Wentz to Bortles is too much to make up or to equal the upgrade from Aaron Jones to Christian McCaffrey, especially considering you're selling low on Aaron Jones and buying high on Christian McCaffrey.
Brian, do you want to remind Travis what your bold take for Christian McCaffrey was?
Yeah, I can do that. My bold take for McCaffrey was 1,700 total yards and double-digit touchdowns.
Boom.
I'm on board with McCaffrey, dude.
And I'm the one that actually I received Wentz in this deal. So I traded McCaffrey away. I guess for me, it just came down to believing that. I do listen to the Superflex Super Show quite a bit. And I tend
that's,
to.
That's my show.
Yes, that is your show.
Oh, look at that.
And so I am in agreement with, I believe it's John and you both, maybe, as far as Carson Wentz just being a top, like the top three quarterback, a top three quarterback. I'm not sure if you're in that group, but I really like Carson Wentz. Obviously the knee is the question here. I don't think if he doesn't blow his knee out last year, I don't think, well, a couple things. First of all, I don't think that Russ is making this trade. And I don't think that this trade gets done because, you know, he was on an unbelievable pace last year. And I believe he can return to that. So that's why I made the deal. I have a lot of QB depth in this particular league too, and a lot of running back depth actually. So I think this was a deal that worked for both Russ and I and what we're kind of visioning for our teams. Mm-hmm. And those are the best, you know, we say all the time, I mean, those are the best types of deals when both owners walk away thinking, yeah, I probably improved my team some on this one, even if I might have lost a little bit of value. I know when I originally put the deal out, Russ, I did it without the picks. Mm-hmm. I offered Bortles and McCaffrey for Wentz and Jones. And, you know, we did some back and forths there with other players involved and different things, and none of them really worked out. And I was like, okay, well, is this a deal that I feel good enough about that I can, you know, swap out a second for a third? And I did. So I sent it. And then, like you said, you kind of, and maybe you can talk about this, but we kind of went back and forth a little bit, and then it just was like, you know, that kind of makes sense. So
the reason I did this was because I don't even really remember why I did this. Probably, you know, Travis's don't do thing, and I did it because partially I was kind of bored. I wanted a Christian McCaffrey share. I've been trying to get one for a little while, so this was a little bit of a get your guy kind of thing. I already had plan. I pulled Brandon Nickel, a Dynasty _ Scout. I had already had Blake Bortles moved before I accepted this trade. So I knew Bortles wasn't going to be my second quarterback, but I thought McCaffrey, because the other trade I had worked out was me trading away Le'Veon Bell before this might sit out 10 games thing. So I wanted to A, sell Le'Veon Bell a little bit, and B, make sure my running back stable stayed strong. And I do believe now in Christian McCaffrey. Maybe not 1,700 and double-digit touchdowns, which, don't get me wrong, now I want to happen because I have a share. But no, I wanted him on my team. And yeah, it's a little bit of an overpay sending Carson Wentz for that. And maybe I'm not as big of an Aaron Jones believer as Brian is, but I do believe in him. But this worked out for both of us, and I'm still going to be Brian in this league, so it's fine.
It's definitely not a bad deal on either side. It was close.
Also, Twitter came down on this one, surprisingly on my side, 62% to 38%. I thought I was going to lose this, so I'm a little happy that I didn't. So take that, Brian. Our next trade, Matt Ryan, Carlos Hyde, and Alfred Morris for Matt Stafford. This one comes down to, what do you think the difference between Matt Ryan and Matt Stafford is, Travis?
I think that it's not Carlos Hyde and Alfred Morris, meaning that I think that I would absolutely trade Matt Stafford for that package. I don't think they're that far apart. Yes, you're getting two running backs who probably they're not going to be fantasy relevant 2 years from now, probably both of them. But if this is a, you know, make your move for a championship push kind of thing, I'm totally okay with this trade.
Yeah. See that. Oh, you, Brian, talk first.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's tough just because I don't believe in Alfred Morris at all. Mm-hmm. Like, not at all. So to me, he's not really a piece in the I mean, he is because he holds some value right now in this very moment before week one happens, but I don't know how much value he's going to hold moving forward, because again, I think that Matt Breida is the guy there that's going to be the one to own in that backfield moving forward this season with the McKinnon injury. So is the difference between Stafford and Matt Ryan Carlos Hyde? To me, it depends on which Matt Ryan you get. If you're getting Matt Ryan of 2 years ago, then no, Carlos Hyde is not. He more than makes up the difference between those two quarterbacks. If it's the Matt Ryan of last year, you know, then I don't know. I mean, I think Matthew Stafford is severely undervalued in all of fantasy football. He's finally starting to get known as an undervalued asset. So, but you know, he's super consistent. He's they throw the ball a ton in that offense, and they're not going to change that anytime soon. So I don't have a problem with this deal, really. It just depends on what, you know, I mean, if Matt Ryan returns to MVP form, then that side probably gains some value. If he stays more along the lines of the season he had last year, or more along his career arc, I don't think it's a terrible deal for the other side either. So I think this one was 75-25 in the poll for the Ryan side. So Twitter thought it was, you know, 3 out of 4 on Twitter thought it was good for the Ryan side.
I'm
a little closer to the middle. So,
to me, my bold take for the Falcons was the start of the decline of Matt Ryan. The reason I got Matt Ryan was part of my Lev Bell trade away. And again, I had Matt Ryan traded before I accepted that trade. So I really just pulled a bunch of dominoes. I wanted Matt Stafford on my team because, like you said, underappreciated asset. They throw the ball a ton. And I don't see any reason for them to change what they've been doing. And I just got Carlos Hyde in that same trade. I got Matt Ryan and I picked up Alf for free. You know, I think I got him for like $1 in fab a few weeks ago. And that just got lucky that he signed with San Francisco. So I do think Matt Stafford is a pretty decent upgrade on Matt Ryan. And while 3 years doesn't necessarily matter in the ages of quarterbacks, he is 3 years younger. So I like Matt Stafford. I clearly would pay Carlos Hyde and what I think is not much of an asset in Alfred Morris. But again, he holds that name value being on San Francisco. All right. Our last trade is the fallout on the other side of this. Carlos Hyde and Alfred Morris, who got moved right away, for Jordy Nelson and Emmanuel Sanders. Brian, what do you think of this one? Yeah, like this is like a this year only trade on both sides.
Yeah, gross.
I know. I thought it was funny, so that's why I put it in here.
Yeah, gross is kind of, yeah, that's a good word.
Do you think Jordy Nelson is actually going to be a thing this year?
No, but I think Manny Sanders is.
Yeah, I think Manny Sanders probably will too. And I think Carlos Hyde probably will be, unfortunately, for my Chubb shares. But I think Carlos Hyde will at least have a good chunk of the season being very fantasy relevant. So, yeah, I put this on because it's pretty much, you know, how do you value one-year players in a dynasty trade? And it's, you know, I mean, we all just, three of us just kind of threw our hands in the air, be like, all right, whatever. So I guess maybe that's, you know, this is team dependent and whatever. I said whatever a lot.
So this was, so what order,
whatever.
What order did these go in for you?
The trades?
Yeah.
All right. So first was mine and yours where I traded, let's just do main pieces. Carson Wentz for Bortles and McCaffrey. I then traded Lev Bell and Bortles for Matt Ryan, Carlos Hyde. I got David Njoku out of it, and we have a decent tight end premium, which is really, that was my goal in this one, was Njoku, because I have nobody otherwise. And then, what did I do? Then I traded Matt Ryan, Carlos Hyde, and Alf Morris, and got Matt Stafford. So I walked away with Matt Stafford, Christian McCaffrey, which makes me super happy.
And David Njoku.
Yeah.
And Bortles.
No, I traded Bortles away already.
You did trade Bortles away.
Yeah, because I needed to replace Matt Ryan on that guy's roster.
Gotcha.
All right. Well, that's the end of our show sheet. So that is the end of our show. It is. Why is your name? You're not typing anything, are you, Brian? I saw your name pop up on the. No, we're done. My alarm's going off in 4 hours. I need to go to sleep. Well, thank you, Travis the Beard, for coming onto our little show here. You've brought some credibility to us and some manliness. tell the people where they could find you and all of the stuff you do.
Real quick, when does this episode drop?
Oh my God, I have to actually edit it. Probably Friday.
Okay. So I shouldn't mention my giveaway that ends tomorrow.
You don't mention it anyway, because I don't want other people signing up for it.
Yeah.
All right. So tell these people where they could find you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys. I had a blast. We stayed on here way too long. I love your podcast. So keep up the good work. People can find me on Twitter at TravisNFL. Check out both the podcasts, Superflex Super Show, and the new one is TravisNFL Fantasy Football Show.
Very good. Now, do you actually write? Because I know you are a DLF person, quote unquote.
Yeah, sometimes. I mainly do the audio content, and I also have been gathering all of the Superflex Dynasty ADP data that goes up on DLF.com too. So
cool. All right. Well, Brian, do you have anything to talk about before we leave?
Nah.
Yeah, seriously. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm going to bed. See you later, folks.
Later.
See yins.
See yas.